Welcome back, everyone. This is Let's Talk About Star Wars with him, Tom Merritt, her, Jenny Josephson.
What?
And me, Garrett Weinzel. Huh? There was just a fun little thing going on there, so I'm going to keep it going. And we are back, like we said we would be. But
you know what we should do?
Hmm.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's absolutely do it. And let's also thank those of you out there who are paying us to talk about Star Wars at patreon.com/letstalkaboutstarwars. We very much appreciate your support, everyone. So around the table, what's been going on in your Star Wars life since it's been about 4 weeks since we last got together and did one of these, starting with Jenny. How you doing, Jenny?
Hey. So last night I downloaded or rented. I've learned my lesson not to buy the $20 iTunes version because all those little extras always show up online. And if there's not a commentary, I don't care. But I rented Rogue One to watch on my nice big home screen with the ability to pause. Ooh. And my review is that I just loved it even more. And I won't go into how much I loved it all over again because we've talked about this movie. But I will say, one thing that specifically surfaced on home viewing was just how much I want more. I want to know about Jeddah, the planet of the Jedi pre-Jedi, and pre any of the movies we've ever seen. And in particular, I found that planet so fascinating, and I was desperate to know more about it, and it got all blowed up. So yeah, that was my takeaway. And also, I must have searched 1,000 times. The only Rebels spoilers that I ever heard was like the paging General Syndulla, and maybe I saw Chopper. I don't know.
But spoiler, like, or not, you mean Easter egg?
I mean Easter egg. Did I say spoiler?
Yeah,
we got spoilers on the brain. Yeah. So, Easter egg. I could not identify the ghost in that.
Chopper and the ghost both, you really have to pause and know where to look. They're so quick.
I remember seeing the ghost in the theater, but I had seen a screenshot of it before, so I knew the angle, like the camera angle to look at. And apparently it does show up again later during the actual battle scene, and I'm sure that's way harder to catch because obviously I didn't catch it in the theater, and I still haven't seen it since my initial viewing the day it came out. I haven't had a chance to pick it up. I've plans to, but it's been a busy week, so I haven't gotten to get my second viewing of Rogue One.
Still sad.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you mention it because out of the blue ended up like with a long form phone call with like my best friend in this world, which we haven't done since like freshman year of high school. And he just so happened to have just seen it for the first time.
Oh, wow.
So like 20 minutes of this phone call was just us talking about Rogue One. And he's like, dude, the movie's really good. I'm like, I know, right? They did a good job. So it was fun. And he had the same thing. He was just like, I can't believe they had the stones for that ending.
Anyway, that's me. That's what I got.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, we're T-minus 1 week in change for Star Wars Celebration. Going to be 1 week from this upcoming Saturday. I am still going. I have not been. I've not been scared off by the fact that I just got really sick from being around too many people at the same time. So I'm going.
You hardened yourself. That's what that
I have.
Means.
I have. I also have antibiotics currently coursing through my system. So I'm just going to be immune when I go. I'm going to lick all the lampposts. It's going to be wonderful. But I'm getting really excited about it. So many things have come up that I did have to, I had to cheat everybody. I did not have time, to even start, let alone finish my Kylo Ren costume. So I am stealing my buddy's 501st armor, and I went and got myself fitted for some sand trooper armor, and I'm very excited.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Got a link here in the show notes if you want to see me dancing as a sand trooper, but, it's going to be a good time. Katie has picked herself up a scout trooper, set of armor from my same friend. So big thanks to Daryl, who apparently has 501st armor just coming out of his ears that he just doesn't even use anymore. No.
That's handy.
Yeah.
The 501st, for anyone who doesn't know, is like the volunteer stormtrooper unit who goes around to like all the hospitals and visits sick kids. And every time I see it, I want to cry. I don't know. Probably most people knew that, but I only learned about them a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And if you really are unaware, they are like exclusively Star Wars villains.
Yes.
Which is super cool. There's a sister group for rebels and heroes. It's awesome. I remember being very young and going to my first convention and there being the 501st there and all that. And just being like, I'd never seen so many stormtroopers in one place ever. So I'm stoked. I'm getting really excited. Something I've always wanted to do is run around as a damn near screen accurate stormtrooper. So let's get this.
Do you have a used washer that you can hold up and say, look, sir, droids?
I do. I do actually have that. I very much
you are an artiste.
to imitate a friend of mine, but that would not be historically accurate because it was a white stormtrooper and not a sand trooper.
I had such a phenomenal time hanging out with my I can say his name. His name's Daryl. He works locally at the Disney parks. He was one of the founding members of the Florida Garrison for the 501st.
Wow.
And his house is full of the coolest stuff, guys. He has like a replica that he made himself of the freaking Raiders of the Lost Ark idol. He made the cherubs off the top of the ark from the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I was just running around his house like, can I touch this? Can I touch that? Am I allowed to touch that as well? Thank you. So... I've been having a fun little trip down like 5-year-old Garrett always wanted to do this lane. So what's up with you, Tom?
Well, the biggest news is that we rescued a 1-year-old plus German Shepherd and are calling her Ray.
Oh,
no way. R-E-Y. She has already fought off our 8-year-old border collie's attempts to get in her brain, so we started calling Sawyer Kylo Ren after that.
So how does Kylo attempt to get into Rey's mind?
Well, it was the first day we had her. He was like sniffing her and getting up in her face, and she just put her paws up on top of him, which we were like, stop that. That's a dominance move. But we were also hilariously laughing like, ah, Ray, you pushed Kylo away. Good job.
You guys are dorks, and I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Also caught up on the Dr. Aphra comic, which I had missed. They really need, for people like me that have a problem and want to read all the Star Wars comics, they need an easier way to identify when new titles come out. I was 4 behind, but man, that comic is great. I love Dr. Aphra in the Darth Vader series, and so I'm super excited that they gave her her own series. And to Jenny's point, they mentioned Jeddah in this comic at one point, because Dr. Aphra's dad, there's this hilarious dad-daughter dynamic, talks about not being up on current events, like not realizing that the Death Star was real. There's this hilarious bit where he's like, oh, I thought that was just a story. And then she mentions Jeddah as a reference to Rogue One. So that, and I'm a third of the way into Empire's End, finally. I've started to catch up on my reading, and I have read the Jar Jar chapter, and it's quite sad.
It's so sad. I skipped ahead because I knew I'm such a slow reader. It's going to take me forever to get to it. And it is damn depressing. Yeah. I also, for whatever reason, just got this hair and have been rewatching the prequels. Episode 1, man, still rough. Still rough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I still, however...
But aren't they redeemed by Clone Wars so much?
Two and three are. I forgot how much really cool stuff there is in 2. I always think, after I haven't watched them for a while, that 2 is actually my least favorite. But no.
You start to just want to be like, please just snip out the bad parts, and you've got a decent movie there.
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
Stop rolling around in the hay with the big cow things.
All of the Naboo stuff in 2
is
just so bad, it drags the rest of the movie down. But, I mean, that the speeder chase in the beginning is so awesome, and my God, Kamino is one of the coolest things in all of Star Wars. The arena fight's all right, but there's a lot of cool in that movie. But
I actually have purchased Rogue One and not watched much of it. I started watching it, and then I got interrupted and never went back. So I'm way cooler on that movie than you guys are. And I don't mean way cooler as in like I'm cool. I mean like
whatever.
I am not warmed to that movie.
You're not as head over heels.
Yeah. And watching the opening bit got me a little more excited because that is a really good bit and follows straight out of the book. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have as fond of a memory of it. And maybe I just need to sit down and make myself watch it again.
So I'm going to...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, my next question is very selfish because I just want to reclaim something that doesn't really happen anymore in the day and age of the internet, which is having a friend tell me about something I'm going to probably think is pretty damn cool, only because I'm not up to date on the comics. Who the heck is Dr. Aphra?
Oh, well, without spoiling too much, she is an rogue archaeologist, and her Vader series and the comic series that's named after her take place between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
And she hangs out with a person of great interest in the Star Wars universe. Let's put
she's like
way.
A dark Indiana Jones
in space.
Homicidal droids.
With homicidal droids, yes. 000 and BT are the best droids ever. Like, basically, they created a C-3PO that was evil, yeah. With 000 and an R2.
Pretty great. For that matter. And yeah. they appeared in, did you say this, in the Vader Down series?
Yeah.
And so you can access those pretty easily if you want to just like get a brief taste of who Dr. Aphra is. But I think she's great.
It sounds very, very cool. I'm all about that. So
only if she doesn't take the character place of, you know, a certain redhead.
I don't feel like that's in the cards, but yeah,
There's a danger of similarity that I don't love. But anyway, onward.
Okay.
Maybe she changes her name and dyes her hair.
Who knows? It could happen. Well, let's talk about what has been transpiring in the world of Star Wars news since we last recorded. And I'm going to throw to you, Jenny, because you did most of the legwork on putting this together.
Ah, well, I did it on my lunch hour. You know, you do. Okay. So beginning Thursday, April 13th, our good friend and co-host Garrett Weinzierl will be at Star Wars Celebration Orlando. And the theme of it this year is, believe it or not, get ready to feel old. 40 years of Star Wars.
Oh, my hip.
I feel not born yet. That's what I feel.
Oh, Garrett. You and you're not born yet. But the thing that there's a ton of stuff, obviously. Everybody's going to be there. But I did find something very notable, which is for the first time since 2002, a one Hayden Christensen will be at Star Wars Celebration. And it's sort of like, I don't know how many Red Sox or Mets fans are out there, but there used to be a baseball player named Bill Buckner. And in 1986, he's an old guy, the ball went through his legs and it kicked off a thing where the Red Sox lost the World Series. And that was painful. And I often equate, and he returned 30 years later to the Red Sox. It was like a huge deal. This is how I equate Hayden Christensen going back to Star Wars land for the first time, which is like he and Jake Lloyd and Ahmed Best were visited such hate upon for really things that weren't fundamentally their fault, same as Bill Buckner. And I really am excited to see this, and I'm excited to see the perspective that an older Hayden Christensen has on his experience in the Star Wars series. So report back, Garrett. You better be there.
I'm actually.
So you're saying The Force Awakens is Star Wars 2004 World Series?
Yes.
Allowing Hayden Christensen to come back.
Yes, it absolutely is. The wounds were healed, and we can now talk to Hayden Christensen again for something that wasn't really his fault. It was irrational fan reaction. Yeah. It is now healed. So I thought that was cool.
So I'm typically in the role of prequel apologist, and I'm going to stay in that role. And I'm going to say that when I first saw The Force Awakens art book, and there was that one page diddly about how they played around with the idea of having Darth Vader show up as ghost that would phase between the light and dark side of Hayden Christensen and then also Darth Vader. That was one of the most exciting ideas I've heard at all of anything that has happened since Disney bought Lucasfilm. And also when we were pretty sure we were going to see Darth Vader in a back to tank in Rogue One, I got very excited about the prospect of seeing Hayden Christensen play the role of Anakin slash Vader with a different director and a different script.
Mm-hmm. And that is the fairest thing to say about it, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So while I don't think this is, I don't think he's going to show up and they're going to announce like he's going to show up in episode 9. Cause I feel like even if they do that, it would be so much more effective if it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited that he's going to be there. I actually think he's a damn solid actor. If you go watch him in anything other than Star Wars, he can carry his own. So
yeah.
I'm stoked he's going to be there. There's a lot of joy for me in the prequels. If you cut out the fat.
I'm excited by that idea of the phasing Force Ghost as well, but I also see it fraught with peril if it's not done exactly right. Like, it can go wrong so many ways. So I feel like they probably made the right choice in saying we're not 100% certain we can pull this off, so let's just not do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was too much at stake.
That could be something I could see them attempting in one of the animated series, but it might be a little too... Well, risky, actually. I don't think they have it in them to take that risk on a numbered, trilogy movie.
So, you want to hear about the most delightful thing on the internet?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know how these things surface, this rare interview with Alec Guinness on a British talk show from 1977. And, it's about 4 minutes and 40 seconds. And I urge you all to watch it. I could only get it to play in Firefox. Maybe that was just my computer, but it is Alec Guinness after Star Wars comes out and makes all this money. And he, first of all, he's just hilarious because he's saying in his Obi-Wan voice, which is his Sir Alec voice, the dialogue was pretty ropey. As he first got the script in, he went back to me, he said, if only we could get some of the dialogue altered. And then he Alec Guinness imitates George Lucas, which I can't do, but I thought it was maybe the best thing I've ever seen. And finally, my favorite quote was, and there was no sex at all. And I just thought, like, this made my day. But he actually made a brilliant point in this interview, which is like, he said, people are going to read too much into this movie and they shouldn't. It's just a fun time. And I thought, like, wow, talk about an accurate voice from the past, because that's our podcast.
Well, that's one of the most delightful things about that interview is it's Alec Guinness before anyone knows how big Star Wars is going to be and how weighty everything Alec Guinness says regarding Star Wars is going to be interpreted now. Mm-hmm. Just kind of telling it like it is, it's delightful.
But the way, you got to go listen to it just for the way he says no sex at all, because it sounds just like he's talking about sand people will be back and in greater numbers. Like, it sounds exactly like that. So please,
I don't seem to recall leaving out all the sex.
it's just great. What a guy.
Well, there are too many sand people and yelling in the middle of the night. There will be no sex at all.
If you need a little joy in your life, just go watch those 5 minutes.
It was like a million people crying out in orgasm.
Oh, this podcast just went another place. What happened?
Oh, man, that's fantastic. I love when Tom goes blue. Blue Tom's my favorite earmuffs. Tom.
Man.
All right. So it wouldn't be a complete podcast without somebody getting really excited about Grand Admiral Thrawn. And do we trust Screen Rant? I'll pose you this question.
Well, sort of. Not really.
A little.
Right. I give them like a 50-50. I trust them. Well, I can only think of tech blog equivalents, but
right.
I don't think they lie, but they definitely will stretch the truth. And I'm having a hard time finding in this Thrawn story what they're actually saying other than wouldn't it be cool.
Yeah, I think this is a wouldn't it be cool, but I put it in because I really like their wouldn't it be cool thread. And essentially what they're saying is, if you take Thrawn's original backstory from the Legends universe, and you sort of lightly overlay it onto what they're building for Grand Admiral Thrawn in Rebels. I won't go too much into it, but basically they're saying that he could show up in episode 8. And if you want to read that, you can go to screenrant.com and search Grand Admiral Thrawn, or just Google it like a grown up. But I thought it was fascinating and vaguely possible. And that's all I really have to say.
The headline is clickbait. Yes. Because the headline leads you to think they have some rumor or leak about Thrawn. From what I can tell, and I haven't read the whole thing all the way through, but
no, it feels more
like a really cool think piece of like, here's why it would make sense for Thrawn to show up in episode 8. And that it stands alone on that. It's actually really well written from that standpoint. That's why I give Screen Rant the 50-50. Like, they have really good writers and reporters, but sometimes they get a little clickbaity.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Maybe
blue.
I'd be all for that. And clearly Jenny would be. So.
Yep. That's right.
I would not be against it. Again, it just has to make sense.
Yeah.
Like, how did he survive? Why is he still around? All of that stuff has to be explained, but I'm not against it. Not at all. Or have him show up in the Han Solo movie. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be
like
great.
A younger Thrawn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and finally, speaking of Screen Rant rumors, and please cover your ears if you don't want to hear anything that could be considered a rumor spoiler. This is not an actual spoiler because you haven't seen it yet, but it's a rumor that could eventually be proved right. And all they really had to say was they saw some pictures from Dubrovnik where they're shooting some scenes, and it looks like there's a casino planet in the upcoming episode, and also weird space horses that kind of look like Tauntauns. There you go.
Sign me up.
Space horses!
I like the space horses. And they made like real space horses that they could sit on that will then be digitally inserted, and they looked really bonkers bizarro, and I like that. And also, I finally saw the space camels in Rogue One that they're like the stormtroopers on space camels. So all of it, you know, it's a horsey day.
I didn't. Yeah,
supposedly this is Canto Bite.
Canto Bite, which is sort of like something your dentist would say.
Yeah. I see you have a Canto Bite. We'll have to treat you with a little
$7,000.
yeah, I also had argued that saying there's like a casino at least set for a Star Wars movie is that's so far from a freaking spoiler. There's gambling in like every Star Wars movie,
right? Or reference thereof.
Yes, exactly. If it's not, it, like we had living giant fly insect people doing it in Force Awakens.
Right. It's fair to say there will be an underbelly.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But. Still excited to see it. I'm only about halfway through Life Debt now. I keep getting distracted by other things. I still like the places they're going in that. I love all of the weird seedy Star Wars bars that they end up in the Aftermath trilogy. they're always at bars, and I'm always fascinated by the way he writes those damn bars they go to, and I want to go to them, and I hope they include a few of them in the Star Wars park that's getting added to Disney.
Only if it's in California Adventure, which is pretty much the only place they allow booze, right?
Well, hopefully
they just do. Oh, yeah, and they're putting all the Star Wars stuff in Disneyland, not in California Adventure.
Yeah, so.
Boo. They're here, right?
Well, maybe they have a cantina in California Adventure.
That's true.
Over here, I believe we have booze in the Magic Kingdom now.
What?
It's a relatively new thing. I think it just happened like this year, but yeah.
Well, there you go. okay, so spoiler alert for Christian Thrain, who's written us, and all other international listeners, okay? We are going to talk about Star Wars Rebels Season 3, and we know, because you've written us, that you don't have access to it yet, and that's unfair. So I'm going to do this song now, and it goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and by now you should have turned it off, and we'll talk to you in a year. Okay, here we go.
Fantastic.
So Rebels Season 3, the last three episodes. What do you think?
And just as a whole.
As a whole as well.
Man, it's hard to talk about just the last three, because one is very different from the other two.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's take Twin Suns. Let's just take a moment, because we almost got it together to do an episode just on Twin Suns. It was that important. And then life. But I could not have possibly looked forward to an episode of an animated show more in my life than I have this one. Except maybe the series finale of Muppet Babies. I don't know. But this was a great, great bit of storytelling, animated or otherwise. And it was heartbreaking. And it was it linked us back to Luke Skywalker. It was incredible. And it was gorgeous. Luke. That's the other thing. I know. It was gorgeously drawn. Like, they put everything they had into this. And my only complaint about it was, like, maybe a little too much Ezra.
Yeah, me too. I battled myself in my own opinion of this episode. I actually didn't like it that much.
Did you have dark and light sides of yourself?
I did. And they were phasing in and out, and one looked kind of like Hayden Christensen because I had long hair when I was younger. It was fun. No. At the end of it, I was kind of, like, in my initial watch, I was a bit let down because I felt that there was a lot of hype about this confrontation. It was over rather quickly. And that like the wrap up at the end, I thought happened too quickly. And I was like, but why wouldn't they talk a little bit more about the fact that they just found a freaking master hiding on Tatooine? But then I talked myself out of it, and also watched it a second time and have come to the conclusion that I love it. But really the big thing that was driving me nuts at the end, I was like, I feel like it would have been a bigger deal that they found Obi-Wan. And then I remembered, wait, there's actually, like, characters who know he's there and know why he's there, so we don't need to spend time on them telling the story of Obi-Wan to other people. Mm-hmm. And when I remembered that, then I'm like, okay, never mind. This episode's perfect.
Right. It was... Tom, you saw it, right?
Yeah, I did. And I loved the setting. I loved the art. I loved the performance. If there are any weaknesses to the episode, they are all rooted in why is Darth Maul still around, which is a problem with any Darth Maul thing. It's not specific to that episode. As soon as you swallow the Spider Maul pill and you just get past that, I can't really find anything wrong with this. And I absolutely loved having Ezra Bridger meet Obi-Wan Kenobi. I thought that was fantastic. And I was worried that would come off too much as, oh, well, so Obi-Wan just always meets Jedi in the desert. That's his thing. And it didn't. They really handled it really well. So that there was, you know, Ezra was almost hallucinating, and there was a good reason that he was found and that he called out. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. And of course, that Aunt Beru repurposed line at the end just broke my heart.
So great. And you know what? What made me so sad about that episode is, like, in another alternate, it felt very much like a Ezra Bridger glimpse into his alternate future. Like, if there was no Luke, then Obi-Wan Kenobi would totally be around with these guys trying to turn them into something, right? Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi is clearly aware of these two and found them being like, they're not quite as important as Luke Skywalker. And it's sad. It's like, it's almost like Ezra saw what his future could be, and this guy that he's looked up to via holocron for so long, and then the guy basically told him to go get lost.
Well, he had to, right? It's dangerous for that much force sensitivity to be in one place. Obi-Wan doesn't want to be found, and he needs to be near Luke. He needs to keep an eye on Luke Skywalker. So it's just tragic for Ezra.
Really.
And I thought it was effective. It was really effective.
Yeah, I thought it was handled surprisingly well, because that the whole time, like, because we spent so much time on Ezra at the beginning, I'm like, well, he's gonna find him. How the heck? Yeah. Like, how do you reconcile the character of Ezra meeting the character of Obi-Wan Kenobi? And I was sitting there having, I'm assuming, the same sweaty panic attack that J.J. Abrams had when he realized, oh, shoot, we have to have Luke at the end of this movie. What do we do? I know, we don't have him say anything, and the next guy can figure that out. I think it was handled so well. There's so many points I want to say, and it's all just gush, but, like, back to the very last scene where Obi-Wan's looking out over the homestead, and you see hear Aunt Beru, and you see the silhouette of a child Luke running into the hut. I mean, everything in this that had to deal with, like, Obi-Wan and stuff that links perfect. Directly to A New Hope. It was just handled so damn well. Like, Dave Filoni is a master. He's a master fan. He clearly has an insane amount of reverence for these characters, and knows just how to give you enough fan service without it being like without pandering.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Yeah.
I also thought the voice acting was tremendous. Just because he sounds like Alec Guinness, but also because he sounded like Ewan McGregor. Mm-hmm. And he was able to blend those two in such a way that I felt like this is what that character sounds like halfway between those two depictions. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Do you, this was my question. Is it the same actor that played in the Clone Wars?
It is not. Arnold Taylor was Clone Wars Obi-Wan, and a gentleman by the name of Steven Stanton did the older.
Well, hats off, man, because that was great.
Yeah.
Although they credit James Arnold Taylor.
It's because the hologram shows up in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, I knew I was fairly certain I was going to come out of this episode with like an overwhelming feeling of nostalgia for the original trilogy. I, for whatever reason, didn't think I was going to have, but I did, an equal amount for the Clone Wars and everything that came before it. Like, cause obviously Rebels opens, like the very first episode opens with that message from Obi-Wan. We don't see it again. And honestly, I'd kind of forgotten about it until this point. And it's such a beautiful thing to insert at the beginning of this episode. And I think Dave Filoni and the cast and crew of Clone Wars and Rebels have really earned that right to insert their own story, like their own beats, which is what they did with Obi-Wan and the Clone Wars in means of their hologram at the beginning. They've earned that right, as far as I'm concerned. They can breathe their Obi-Wan in the same breath as A New Hope Obi-Wan.
Yep. Yep. So I guess we should briefly talk about the actual, season finale of it. Two-parter.
You know what? I wasn't sure that that the season finale was going to not suck after that Twin Suns episode. And it was fantastic, because everything Twin Suns wasn't. Twin Suns was slow paced. It was isolated. It was looking backwards. It was nostalgic. And Zero Hour was space battles and fast and amazing and totally made me forget in a good way Twin Suns, because it's like, all right, no, we're back into we need to create a rebellion here, and let's see it, you know, face its first battle. And we've been waiting all year for Thrawn to actually throw down, and here he does. And Sabine, who's my favorite character, is essential to this happening, and I've loved the Mandalorian story with her all the way through. So gosh, there was just so much good about the finale.
It was so different, not only from Twin Suns, but it was so different from the other two finales we have had so far in Rebels. The other two finales stood on the shoulders of Clone Wars, I think, rather heavily. And with that in mind, I frankly do like season two's finale more than season three's, but that's not a
dig. Well, that's because it had your gal.
All right, exactly. Yeah, right? That is just
I'm not like Ahsoka.
I'm not refuting that. I'm saying full bore, my fanboyish nature is why I like the season two's finale so much. Season three's finale is still is awesome. It stands on its own. It's Rebel saying, we are our own show. We can carry. We can really make you care with characters that are unique to this property.
We can pull off a giant multi-layered mushroom who's also a cloud and make it seem real. Like, that's no mean feat.
No.
Like, I buy mushrooms like that at the farmer's market, and they made him into a character.
You don't buy mushrooms like that.
Wait,
you're right. None of them have the force.
Are you talking about
hope not.
Are you talking about the force beast?
Yeah, Bendu.
I never really thought of him as a giant mushroom, but...
He's a giant oyster mushroom.
I guess you're right. Yeah. I guess you're right.
But he is also like Bendu comes straight out of like the early Star Wars, like legend stuff that not legends, but like the backstory that George Lucas was building, which is a great article, that, that has a lot of Easter eggs on whatculture.com, which please ignore one annoying pop-up in order to get to what is a very good and well-researched Easter egg hunt. And they basically said I forgot what they said about Ben. Oh, he comes from these early George Lucas, you know, crazy writing papers.
Treatments, and, yeah. The Journal of the World stuff.
That there was a Bendu in there. So they're really, they are mining deep, and it's impressive.
Yeah. The Jedi Bendu.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was solid. Jenny, I've been very excited to talk to you about this because I'm curious how you felt just about Thrawn ultimately failing.
Well, it certainly sets up a number of fascinating possibilities. If he had succeeded, there would be like literally no reason for Darth Vader. Like, why would you want an irrational, angry force wielder if you could have this awesome blue guy who was like calm, cool, and collected under pressure? But slightly failing to crush the rebellion, actually totally failing, even if it was because of a giant oyster mushroom, is sets up everything that needs to happen for probably that Thrawn book that is coming out for any potential appearance in a live action film, because that guy's probably getting hecka banished for his failure. And that's probably bad for Rebels in the short term, but it's probably great for the mythology in the long term, because there's a whole unknown territory to be explored outside of even the outer regions or whatever they call them. Thrawn is an integral part of that world. That's where I came from. So I find it fascinating, and I'm super excited to see what happens next. They're not going to get rid of that guy, but it'll be really interesting to see where they banish him to.
Mm. Oh, I just remembered one thought, that the one thing that bothered me in this, I feel like Agent Kallus should have died.
Probably.
Yeah. I feel it would have been a much stronger.
Yeah, he's a little hard pill to swallow that he still is around, and that now he's a friendly guy. Yeah. You know, like I think you're right. Like, and maybe part of it is, hey, we're still 7+, so guess what? We're not killing Agent Kallus, but have him disappear without any kind of clue or something would have been fine.
Yeah, that's my question. Do they only get, because we actually, I think on our very last episode, talked about how they're not going to kill anyone, and it's like, well, Obi-Wan eviscerated Darth Maul. It wasn't graphic, but he eviscerated him.
Now
my question is, what do you just get, like X amount of deaths a season, and they're like, we're spending it on Darth Maul.
Bad guys can die.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, but good guys.
But as soon as you made Agent Kallus a good guy, that became problematic.
Yeah. Mm. So here's my big question. Do we have anything more to say about these two-parters? Or I don't remember them that much, other than the space battles were incredibly sophisticated, and you saw all the same spaceships that you're about to see in Rogue One, which I thought was really nice continuity.
If I can just yell out cool things, Death Trooper showed up.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Death Trooper showed up, and I was really excited about that. If I can backtrack to Twin Suns real fast, we didn't really talk about the fight. Obviously, the fight being so short originally bothered me, and now I kind of love it. What'd you guys think of the fight between Obi-Wan and Maul?
I think Maul wanted to die, and I think he let it happen. And also, another Easter egg that I credit to this What Culture is basically Maul tried to use the same move to kill Obi-Wan that he used to kill Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, yeah, smacking him in the chin with the middle of his hilt.
Obviously, somebody has been thinking about that for the past 30 years or so, and came up with a counter move. And so I actually think it shows like who was willing to grow and who was just out for revenge. So the whole thing was just magnificent. I could spend an hour talking about that episode, like a whole hour, because it was that good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of fight scenes. So I was not disappointed at the length of it at all. Obviously we know Obi-Wan's not going to die here. So, right.
Well, yeah.
So right. you have to do something, to make it interesting. And I thought that way of defeating him by breaking the hilt was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep. No, I dug it as well. So,
all right, let's get to the part I'm really, 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 really excited about.
All right.
Which is season 4 of Rebels and how much interaction there will be with the characters in Rogue One.
Ooh.
Well, and also Ahsoka. I kept thinking we were going to get a hint on her by the end of the season, and we didn't. So they aren't going to just leave us hanging. We're either going to acknowledge that she's gone at some point, or she's going to pop back up.
Yeah, I feel like that might be addressed next weekend.
At
Star Wars Celebration. Mm. There is a Rebels
panel. Maybe a trailer or something.
Yeah, there's a Rebels panel on that Saturday, and I hope to God I can get a wristband to get in and watch it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, in retrospect, and it was, again, like, my initial reaction at the end of all of this was, that was really cool. What the hell's going on with Ahsoka? The more I've thought on it, like, the fact that the final two episodes that were run together, and it was basically a one-hour finale, they stood on their own so well that I think, like, bringing Ahsoka would have just kind of diminished what they had accomplished, which is just having an episode that's just all about the Rebels characters. So I don't know where you even would have fit in a scene that addresses Ahsoka in those two episodes, but no, you're absolutely right, Tom. Either, like, are they announcing Ahsoka's spinoff at Celebration, or are we getting the trailer?
We don't even know what her fate is.
Yeah, she might just be gone, although I doubt it. I doubt it.
Yeah, produce a body. Like, they haven't produced a body. She is not dead.
Garrett's going to need to see the body.
Yeah.
Back and to the left. You see the saber go back and to the left.
There's only one scenario where I'm okay with them never addressing Ahsoka again in an animated series, and that is because she's going to show up in a live-action movie at some point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be interesting, yeah.
That's the
Anyway, back to Rogue One, Jenny. We are definitely seeing Saw Gerrera. And The question is, at what point do Saw go to Jeddah? At what point does he hook up with K2SO? Like, what are those connections, and how many of them are they going to throw at us?
And will we see Cassian, who I'm permanently in love with at this point?
Right.
So I've been just gushing this entire episode. So let me pour a little haterade on. Do we want to see more Saw? Because I thought he was the worst thing about this entire season and possibly all of Rebels as a whole.
Huh. I want to see him. He was a jerk, but I want to see him be a jerk to the people that we like. Because that's
He's kind of integral. We have to see him because he's the rogue element. And this rebellion is now forming. And this is where you tell the story of why Saw Gerrera was not brought into the fold.
Right.
So
I'm down for it. I want to see Mon Mothma pour some cool senatorial ice on that guy and see what happens. Like, I'm interested in the politics of it. I want the West Wing, but for Star Wars. I'm not going to get that in a +7 Disney thing.
So am I crazy? Because I just felt he was very just paper thin in the two episodes we got with him. He was just angry.
Doesn't have to stay that way.
Hmm.
Also, he's a radical character. Radicals are deep and complex, but sometimes they're also just like, I want this. This is happening. And you don't get a lot of, like, you don't get past that surface, like, whatever. So I'll be interested to see. I mean, I didn't see the episodes in Clone Wars that he was in with his sister, but I bet there was a little more nuance there.
Oh, there was.
Yeah, it's almost an entirely different character, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to know the difference. I want to know what happened.
I think that was part of the reason.
A reflective moment.
I think it was part of the reason I didn't like it so much. Like, I think it worked in Rogue One because there wasn't a ton of Saw Gerrera, and so much time had
5 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and so much time had passed that I'm just like, sure, I buy that he got to this point. I buy this point B, but what I don't buy is the in-between that Rebels is showing, because it seemed like a completely different character from what was in Clone Wars.
Tiny bit of trivia. The episode in season 3 of Rebels, the double agent droid episode, was the first time ever that a toilet has been seen in Star Wars.
I'm so glad.
Maybe my favorite trivia ever. And it's so true, because I was like, what is happening? Somebody is peeing in a Disney thing. I don't understand. Like, it was great. So anyway,
that's what you can do in 7+.
That's right. You can make pee jokes.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that literally came up in our role play group. Like, at some point we're like, we need to go hide in the bathroom. What the hell is a bathroom called in Star Wars? And one of my close friends goes, it's called a refresher. I'm like, how the hell do you know that? And then like a couple weeks later, this episode hits and they refer to it as a refresher. And I just was losing my mind for the dumbest reason.
Can't call my bathroom to the end of 10. Like, oh, the refresher is just in the back.
I'm sorry.
So,
what?
I'm just going to say right now, if we don't see K2SO in Rebels, it is the world's biggest wasted opportunity, if only because Alan Tudyk is so excited about it.
I was about to say, they better get Alan Tudyk through the voice, too. Don't you cast someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be the problem with Saw Gerrera, too, right?
Yeah.
If you can't get Forrest Whitaker, then.
Like, he's like, I completed that character. I died in a sandstorm. Come on.
Loved Forrest Whitaker in that. I loved it. So, but yeah, it's great Easter eggs this season. Also, double agent droid, that droid design is one of the old unused concepts for C-3PO. Hmm.
God, this is so deep. These guys, man. Can you imagine a world in which your whole damn job is to learn about Star Wars and implement it into creative output?
Well, that's Dave Filoni, right? Like, he is all of us who sit there and obsess over George's old drawings and George's old storylines and all of the lore, except he gets to see all of it because he works there. So he gets to see things that none of us have ever seen and then implement it. And, you know, so it's the perfect role. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's an insane fanboy who makes the right decisions.
Yeah.
With this,
he's an insane, competent fanboy.
His dialogue is not at all ropey.
Except for the new Saw Gerrera. So
I wanted to rip through a bunch of emails with the speed of, light. Is that okay? Would that be okay?
I'd be fine if you took it up to hyperspace.
Okay. The aforementioned Christian Thrain writes, I've been listening to your show. A repeating discussion is the Jedi status of Kanan, but he is absolutely right. Season 2, Episode 18, Shroud of Darkness, Kanan fights some force illusions of the old Temple Guard, and he kind of wins, and they grant Kanan the rank of Jedi Knight. So if you say that a Temple Guard force ghost has like the authority to give you a Jedi certificate, then he's a genuine Jedi going forward, and Ezra could therefore be one. I mean, this is like a facts of a facts of a facts, but I accept it. And then he says that just leaves Ahsoka, and her status is up to her own conscience. And then
I want to see Kanan's Jedi certificate.
Yes,
sorry.
Like, yeah.
Papers, please. So,
he also says, please don't spoil me too much of Rebels season 3. It hasn't arrived in Norway. I'm sorry, Christian.
I hope you revisited this episode after you saw season 3 and then
have realized
that we did indeed address your email.
Tim Watson writes in with a lovely piece of trivia, which is that John Forgem died at the age of 75 on March 10th. And if you don't know who John Forgem was, he played a character that kicked off the entire movie, the entire Star Wars movie, with a bad decision, which is he was a Imperial soldier or something, a captain or a lieutenant, who is the guy who says, hold your fire, there are no life forms, it must have short-circuited when C-3PO and R2-D2 escape down to Tatooine. So Tim correctly says, without that line, you don't have a movie. And so, you know, thanks, John Forgem. Sorry you died, but thanks for your good work.
Thanks for your irrational efficiency in holding your fire for no reason.
Yeah, it was a really inconvenient way to get around that plot point. So you delivered it well with the arrogant authority of the British, and you did your part. Rich Stroffolino, otherwise known as Rich from lovely Cleveland, sent us a great blog post that you should check out, which we'll put in the show notes, called Imperial, which is just like a tech blog, but it had this one article about how Imperial IT is, and we quote, hot garbage, which encompasses a wide range of the things we've been talking about with Rogue One's communication problems. That was another thing I noticed on the rewatch of Rogue One. I was like, really? You guys have to like run a wire out to a thing and plug in and then also flip a switch and then do this to get your internet?
And you didn't have an offsite backup?
Like, come on! So it's gestalt.com. Gestalt.it.com, and you just look for Imperial hot garbage. It's really good. And finally, another Jay Martin writes in with a theory about who Snoke is, and he says he thinks it would be awesome if Snoke was an experiment using all the genetic material of all the big bads in the universe. So basically, like, you take a bunch of different Play-Doh and you just mush it all together and it becomes Snoke. He has a question for us. Do we want to know who Snoke is in episode 8 or wait until episode 9? Gentlemen?
I want to know who he is in episode 8.
Me too.
Right.
I want episode 9 to be all about Kylo's redemption.
Okay.
Yeah, I want there to be. I want the only unknowns in episode 9 to be what happens with these characters and that we know who they are.
Yeah.
I want all the mysteries to be unraveled in 8 and 9 to just be consequences.
Rey, I am your father.
Said several
times. Said who? I don't know. I don't know. I want that to happen at 8, though.
So thanks for your emails. Please send them. We love them. I love reading them. I get them in my direct inbox and they make my day because they're like not from my dad sending bad jokes about old Jewish people. So I'm like, send me emails, please. They give us great joy.
Yeah, I love hearing these too because I just
the email address, right? Feedback at letstalkaboutstarwars.com.
That does help. I love these emails too because I learn stuff that I don't already know about Star Wars, and that's always a super cool feeling. So thanks for writing in, everyone. I think it's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. Thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/letstalkaboutstarwars. If you dig the show, consider supporting over there. Keep those iTunes reviews coming. Thank you to the Andrew Allen Trio for intro and outro music. Check out their work at andrewallentrio.com/music. And then around the table, Jenny Josephson, where can folks find you?
Folks can find me producing a really spectacular podcast, not because I produce it, but because of who hosts it, with Kai Rizdal and Molly Wood, called Make Me Smart. And it's marketplace.org/makemesmart. I love it. It's just a lot of fun with business, technology, and culture. And you should listen.
Awesome. Tom Merritt, how about yourself?
You can find me at your local bookstore on the shelf. Pilot X is my novel about a time traveler who just wants to fly around in his time ship, but gets thrust into universal events and has to decide the fate of the universe. If you like space opera, apparently it's a good fast-paced classic read. Getting good reviews on Amazon, too, so you can order it there or anywhere that books are sold. Pilot X.
Awesome, folks. Folks, you can find me on, well, many places around the web. I'm on Twitter at Garrett Art. Every other podcast I do can be found at namemove.tv. So go check that out. And that's going to do it for this episode. Tom, Jenny, thank you as always. Always good getting on here and geeking out about Star Wars. See you all in probably a month's time. And I will have returned from Celebration. So excited about that. And if any fans of this here podcast are attending Celebration, tweet at me at Garrett Art. Let me know. I want to say hi to you folks. So that's going to do it. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.
And especially with Marjade.